Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It's our prayer at Peace Lutheran Church that our name is not just a name, but it becomes a gift to you in your heart this Christmas, and that is the gift of peace. Lighthouses played a really vital role on the Oregon coast 100 to 150 years ago. I don't think that surprises any of us. Without a lighthouse in the right location on the coast, ships that were bringing construction materials up north to places like Astoria, even up in the Seattle area, they ran the risk of running into shallow waters, and lots of wrecks happened. That doesn't surprise us. Without a lighthouse in place, there was also the danger of ships really losing their way and wandering off further than they should have, kind of a slow drift, so to speak. What's your favorite lighthouse on the Oregon coast? Do you have one? You're thinking of one, I know. Some of you are shaking your heads. Well, my favorite one is the Yakina Head Lighthouse. I really appreciate the display down below in the visitor center. I'd encourage anyone to go there to check it out. This lighthouse is, they say, 160 feet above the shore. And the tower itself is somewhere around 90 to 100 feet tall. They say that it's the tallest lighthouse on the Oregon coast. Maybe most importantly, the significance of the lighthouse is that, did you know that a sailor out in the ocean can see that lighthouse from 19 miles off in the distance? That's amazing. When I go into the visitor center, I'd encourage you all to do it. The history is just amazing. And I remember going there one year, and I had just a warm feeling there, just thinking about how many people were saved by just looking at that light, and how that made people as sailors feel safe and secure. That lighthouse was very important 100 and 150 years ago. Throughout the season of Advent here at Peace Lutheran Church, we have been discussing, sharing the prophet Isaiah and the words that he shared for his generation 700 years before Jesus came. But these words have spanned all generations, describing Jesus, the Jesus that was born, the baby that fulfilled this prophecy. And Isaiah gave four titles and names for Jesus. Number one, Wonderful Counselor. 2, Mighty God. 3, Everlasting Father. 4, Prince of Peace. Today we're going to be discussing just a little bit more about Jesus being the Prince of Peace. How are you feeling about peace this morning? You know, there's a lot of anxiety perhaps out there heading into Christmas. Are your families getting along so far? Is everyone minding their P's and Q's? I'd like to just suggest this morning that peace and Christian peace is nothing more than a lighthouse in our lives. Our lives and our journey begin with Jesus, and that's a great comfort for us. Our lives begin with Jesus. We are baptized into his name. We receive everything that is Jesus is given to us in baptism. And did you know that your life ends with Jesus too? Now we call it heaven, but actually it's not so much about heaven. It's about being with Jesus. And so the Bible says in the book of Revelation, I am the Alpha and the Omega, Jesus says. I am the beginning and I am the last. But you see, we're all gathered here this morning. All of us. We're not in the beginning, and we're not at the end. We're somewhere on the journey. Some of us this morning are going to school and receiving lessons and growing, maturing as just a, you know, at that time, a moment of being school age. Some of us are in a career or advancing in our careers, and that's wonderful. Some of us are raising a family and guiding our families and enjoying time with family. Some of us are in our retirement years. We're somewhere in between. And what we need in life is a lighthouse so that we know that we're not crashing up against people or what's out in the world. And we also need something that doesn't allow us to just drift off and not have any purpose in life. We need a lighthouse. Christian peace, my friends, is a lighthouse. It keeps us safe and secure, and it gives us purpose for life. Now, the topic of peace this morning, I know, is not very controversial. If we were to quiz the community today, do you think peace is a good concept? I'm pretty sure we have 100% agreement. Peace is a great thing, people would say. In our nation, everyone would agree at least on that. Peace, we want peace. But here's the thing. There are great disagreements about how peace comes. Christian peace is different. It's unusual. When we think of peace that the world gives, it typically comes from outward situations getting fixed. Now hang with me for a moment. Here are some examples. We think often that there's no more wartime out there. We're living in peaceful times, we say. Or we might say, boy, I just made it through Christmas with my in-laws. It was outward situation. It was really difficult. Now I can have peace. Maybe you're waiting for January 3rd. Or perhaps you're thinking of a challenge that's in your life. And once that challenge is dealt with, an outward situation, then you can have peace, we say. I hear it all the time as a pastor. Or we give tons of time and resources to human beings gathering in international conferences to make agreements so that peace can be given on earth. Or we invest our time and energy into a book that gives 12 rules to make sure that we have peace in our lives. Or we take part in a religion or a philosophy, and there's nothing wrong with that. But you see what's happening. I just want to just point it out here. What we're saying with that thought is that peace comes from outward situations first, and then it seeps inside into our hearts. As a pastor, that's deadly thinking. And it's wrong. Peace won't come. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow wrote a Christmas hymn. You've probably heard it before. I heard the bells on Christmas Day. How does it go at the end? Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Isn't it a lovely hymn song? We sang that last week at Stony Brook Assisted Living, and I was thinking, oh, this is going to be great. I heard the bells on Christmas Day. But then we got to stanza 2. Oh, man, that is such a pessimistic outlook.